Blog Talk Radio.
Precious saints of God, and welcome to another broadcast of Just a Few Minutes a Day with yours truly. Well, my brothers and sisters, I have found what Jensen Franklin is going to be in need of. You know, the Bible says that when a man finds a wife, he finds a good thing. Well, when Jensen Franklin finds, and I found it for him, when Jensen Franklin finds a good top-tier spiritual advisor, which is what I found for him, because he's going to need it come Monday, when he discovers that he's going to be in need of a top-tier spiritual advisor, someone on his level, because listen, folks, I am not, and I'll be the first one to confess. I'll be the first one to tell you. I would be the first one to acknowledge, because I know Jensen Franklin's going to throw it in my face. He's going to say, "You, sir, you're not in my league." And he's absolutely right. I am not in his league. He is absolutely right. I'm just a little tyke compared to this anointed man of God. He's so anointed. He's just so special. He's just special. And, you know, so I know he's going to throw it up in my face that I'm not a mega church pastor, that I don't have a worldwide global television ministry, that I don't meet frequently with President Trump and Paula White. I know he's going to throw it up in my face that I've never been a New York Times bestseller. I know. That he's going to throw that up in my face, and possibly even more. He's probably going to tell me that I haven't won the awards he's won. He's going to, you know, there's so many things. So that's why I know I can't advise him. I know. I don't have delusions of grandeur. No, I am not in his league. This guy is in a league all by himself. And so that's why I really had to search and I found him a spiritual advisor. And it so happens that the spiritual advisor that I found for Jensen Franklin happens to be Jensen Franklin. That's who it is. And, you know, Jensen Franklin's been living large, saints. Jensen Franklin has been living large. Large off of preaching. These guys discovered that you can make a boatload of money. You can laugh all the way to the bank each and every week if you become a motivational speaker, a new age guru, a wolf in sheep's clothing preacher. They realized that. And so Jensen Franklin, listen, the man has been living large. In fact, he reminds me of Belshazzar. Remember Belshazzar? The Babylonian king, the king who lived in the land of confusion, Belshazzar. Belshazzar threw a party. Remember Belshazzar threw a party? If you read Daniel 5, he's throwing a party. He's living it up. He's asking them to bring out the Bud Light. And, you know, when they're bringing out the Bud Light, have you seen the recent Bud Light commercials? Every time they have these new commercials on the Bud Light beer, and they're in England, and when the king says, "More Bud Light," and everybody says, "Dilly Dilly, Billy Dilly." Well, Jensen Franklin was, he's living it up like Belshazzar. Partying, living large, flying to and fro, enjoying popularity. He's just, you know, until what happened to him is what happened to Belshazzar. Remember how the Lord became a party crasher? Remember how God became a party crasher in Daniel chapter 5? And while Belshazzar's living large and enjoying life and doesn't have a worry in the world, the man, King Belshazzar of Babylon, is in a legal by himself, doesn't have a care in the world. He's having a party. He's living it up. They're dancing a jig until a hand appears, a mystical hand appears and starts writing on the wall. That's where we get the phrase, the handwriting's on the wall. Well, my brothers and sisters, the handwriting's going to be on the wall for Jensen Franklin on Monday. And by the way, it's the book cover is all over the internet now. If you were to go to Google and type in images of Spirit of Python Dunce, you will see the book cover everywhere. Already the handwriting's on the wall. Already. I don't know if Jensen Franklin has seen it, but the handwriting's going to be on the wall come this Monday. It's going to be on many walls because the book's going to be shipped out to many different people. By the way, if you haven't ordered your copy, you can do so. And by doing so, you can support missions, educational missions, because I've forwarded all of the proceeds. I'm not taking a penny. I want these funds to go to a certain nonprofit that's going to use it to have a school of ministry. That's where all the funds are going. It's not going to go on salaries. We're not paying teachers out. No, we're going to get a property where we can train folk for the ministry. That's where all the proceeds go to. I'm not taking a penny. I don't need it. The work of the Lord needs it in its entirety. And so there are people who are going to manage the money, and they're just going to prove to me that it was used for what we said it was going to be used, but I'm not touching the money. And my brothers and sisters, go to our website. If you haven't ordered the book, go to our website. It's right there in the broadcast description, www.dailymannaNY.com. Order your copy. Support us. Support the work. Support the true work of the Lord. And if you want, listen, ambiguous. If you don't know if you should buy the book, I don't know if this is the right book. Look, email me. I will send you a sampler. When you read the sampler, you're going to say, oh, yeah, I need this book. I need. Email me. The email address is right there in the broadcast description. Email me. I'll send you a sampler. It's that simple. That simple. Well, like Belshazzar, whose party was crashed by the Lord, read Daniel 5, Jensen Franklin's party's someone's gonna crash his party, and that someone is yours truly. And I'm crashing it because the Lord told me to crash it. The Lord told me to crash it with the publication of a trilogy. A trilogy to which Mr. Franklin has to answer. When you read the book, when you get your sampler, and when everybody purchases a book and gets their copy of the book, the first thing from the get-go that I do is I challenge Mr. Franklin to debates. I'm telling Mr. Franklin that I will give him home field advantage. I want to give him home field advantage. I will debate him at his church. I will do like Daniel. I will come into the lion's den. It's the first thing you read when you open the book. An open letter to Jensen Franklin. I'll come to your church, sir. I'm not going to hide. I will come to your church and debate you in front of your people. 18 debates. I want 18 debates because I want to debate every chapter in his book. He's got 18 chapters if you include the introduction and the conclusion. He's got 16 chapters plus the introduction and the conclusion. And all 18 portions in his book, all 18 sections, are worthy of debating because they're full of nonsense and stupidity like you've never seen before. So I'm challenging him. It's the first thing I do. And I sweeten the pot. You know, I tell them, look, think about it. If you give me a spanking, I tell them, you should televise it. Think about all the CD sales and DVD sales you're going to make. I tell Mr. Franklin, you can keep all the proceeds from the DVD and CD sales. You're going to make a boatload of money. You can keep the copyright to all the CD and DVDs. I don't want it. All I want is you. I want you to be on a stage with me to answer for your dopey book. I sweetened the pot for the guy. I said, look, I'll do it at your church. I'll step into the lion's den where most likely I'm going to be pelted. If not with vegetables, I'll be pelted with looks and decrees and declares. And boy, I'll be pelted with the daggers coming out of his diehard followers' eyes. But I'm willing to do it for Christ's sake. I'm willing to do it for the church's sake. So I challenge them and I swing the pot. Okay, you can keep the DVD sales. You can keep all the CD sales. And in fact, I say to him, think about the huge offerings, because there's going to be record number attendance. Think about the huge offerings that you're going to collect at each one of these 18 debates. And then I share with him, think about how your book, the spirit of, if you're able to give me a spanking, think about how your book will surge again. How your book, which is now flatlined, because nobody's buying his book, The Spirit of Python, it's an old book. But think about the booming sales. Think about the interest that people will have in that dopey book of yours if you're able to give me a spanking in front of everybody and prove me wrong. I'm crashing his party, and it's up to Jensen Franklin to put me in my place. And the question everybody wants to know is, can he put Moses Henry Jones in his place? Can he put him? Can Jensen put him in his place? And remember, saints, I'm not in his league. I am not in the man's league. I am not. I know that. I don't walk around thinking that I'm something special. I'm just a lowly servant of Christ who loves the Lord. I love the Lord, and I love the Lord's people. That's all I am, a lowly servant of Christ. Well, I found Denson Franklin. I found him an advisor. Because come Monday, this is what Denson Franklin is going to sound like. This is what he's going to sound like come Monday. He's going to sound just like Belshazzar. Remember when you read Daniel 5, remember Belshazzar's reaction. His knees started to knock. The man started to cry. The king of Babylon started to cry. The guy who had just been laughing, the guy who was just living it up, the guy who was just the toast of the town, he told his servants, go get the cups of the Lord. Go get the cups of the God of Israel. Go get his golden goblets and all the things that were used in his temple. And we're going to feast with the vessels from the house of the Lord. And when he was feasting with the vessels of the house of the Lord and just having a good old shindig, having a good old party, that's when the Lord's hand appeared and started to write on the wall and told him that he was weighed in the balance and was found wanting, and his kingdom was over and it would be handed to another. And that's why Belshazzar went to crying. So when Denson Franklin goes to crying on Monday, I'll have this little song to play for him and for his ministerial staff and for his church members and for Denson Franklin's wife and kids. This is the little song because, you know, Jensen's going to be beside himself. He is going to be beside himself. You see, because he never imagined, saints, listen, let me tell you something. These guys never imagined that they will ever be confronted. They think that they've gotten away with it. They just think that they've gotten over on the people of God. But when Denson Franklin's party is crashed, this is what he's going to be singing. You would cry too if it happened to you. And his wife is going to tell him, honey, calm down. It's not all that. Oh, it'll blow over. His kids will tell him, don't worry, Papa. It'll be all right. His ministerial staff will say, we're praying for you, Pastor. And his members will say, Pastor, we're in your corner. Don't worry, don't worry. But he's going to say, now, he's going to say, I'm going to cry, and I'm going to have a good cry, and he's going to say this to his wife. He's going to say, because your face isn't plastered on the book cover. Your name isn't plastered on the book. He's going to tell his staff, it's not you, it's me. I'm the one being embarrassed. I'm the one whose caricature is on the book cover. I'm the one wearing the dunce cap. I'm the one being made fun of. Not you, honey, not you Tillins, not you staff, not you members, it's me. And that's why he's going to be beside himself. They're going to say, don't cry, just give it to the Lord, just give it. And he's going to say, no, I'm going to cry because you would cry too if what just happened to me happened to you. Now, the reason why he's going to continually cry is because it's not just one book. This is going to go on for 6 months. This is going to, listen, you have volume one. After we get done with volume one, then we're going to have volume two. I'm going to call them out again. When volume two comes out again, another barrage, I'm going to call them out again. Where are you, Mr. Franklin? Why are you hiding, Mr. Franklin? Why do you have your head stuck in the sand like the ostrich, Mr. Franklin? Why have you turned into the invisible man, Mr. Franklin? Why have you gone into witness protection, Mr. Franklin? See, that's volume two. And people are going to start wondering, why won't this guy just answer? Why won't the guy sweetened the pot. The guy doesn't want any money from the debates. And Jensen Franklin is going to have those churches packed. And listen, every campus church, not only is his church where he's doing the debates going to be packed, but every campus church of his is going to be packed to watch these debates. Can you imagine how many campuses does he have? Four or five? They're going to be jam-packed to the rafters. Can you imagine the kind of offerings that he's going to... Because these guys are into offerings. I mean, that's why I remind them. I say, listen, Jensen, you debate me. That's like a fight in Vegas. That's like a heavyweight championship fight in Vegas. You debate me 18 times. You'll be collecting 18 super-duper offerings at your five, six campus churches. In addition, think about the global sales of CDs and DVDs. Think about the resurgence. I mean, think about how you're going to make your publisher, Charisma House, happy because that book that wasn't selling, now there's a surge. Now people want the book. People are ordering the book, especially, Mr. Franklin, if you're putting a whooping on me. But he's going to be hiding because he can't counter what I write in volume one. He can't counter what I write in volume two. He can't counter what I write in volume three. And it's going to be a year. 2019 is going to be a year that Jensen Franklin is going to want to forget because the Lord had it that we crashed his party. Now, if Jensen Franklin gets stupid, if he gets as stupid as Paula White, because Paula White likes to sue people, if he gets stupid and he sues me, then he's just giving me another weapon. See, because I will go down to Georgia, and he's got a church in Georgia, and he's got a church in California. I will go down to Georgia, I'll go down to California, and I'll hold press conferences, and I will ask the question. I will say, where is Jensen Franklin? You know how they say, where's Waldo? I'll say, where's Jensen Franklin? Why is the man hiding? Why won't the man debate me? So I can crash the party. You know, it all depends on Jensen, how big the crash is going to be. It's all going to depend on him. It's all going to depend on him. Now, since I can't advise him, I cannot advise him, I found someone who can advise him. I found someone. Because obviously, I mean, he's not, listen, folks, once they read, and he's getting a copy of volume one, I mean, I am sending him a copy on Monday, certified mail return receipt. I'm sending one to his church in Georgia. I'm sending one to his main campus in California in case, you know, he's not in Georgia that week. He's in California. And I'm sending one to his publisher. And I'm sending three copies out, certified mail return receipt. In other words, when the mailman stops off at Mr. Franklin's church, someone's going to have to sign for the package. And when they sign for that package, I'm going to get a green slip back telling me who signed for the pad. You pay extra so that you can, in case Mr. Franklin denies, I never got my copy. Well, his publisher's getting one, so let's just say that in his church in Georgia, they forget his copy and they misplaced, or the church in California misplaces his copy. Well, they're not going to misplace it at the publisher's. That's why I cover all the bases. You see, and I'm gonna do to him like Bugs Bunny did to Pete Puma. Jensen Franklin's like Pete Puma, and I'm gonna have him over for some coffee. I'm gonna take Belshazzar, and I'm gonna have him over for some coffee, and I'm gonna give him a couple of lumps. Listen to Bugs Bunny. And he's toying with Pete Puma, and this is what I'm going to do with Jensen Franklin during the debates. Listen to this.
Oh, no, you can't leave yet. You got to have a nice cup of tea with me. Here we are. There's nothing as sociable as a nice cup of tea.
I want the debates between Franklin and me. I want them to be sociable. I mean, we're going to duke it out. We're going to have to contend for the faith. We're going to have to get, you know, we're going to have to wrestle exegetically. We're going to have to tangle theologically. But it's going, you know, I'm going to be nice. So it's like Bugs Bunny inviting Pete Puma over for a cup of tea so we can be social in front of God's people.
Oh, no, you can't leave yet. You gotta have a nice cup of tea with me. Here we are. There's nothing as sociable as a nice cup of tea. I always say. How many lumps do you want?
Oh, three or four.
I gave you one too many. Well, we can fix that. There. And here's a cigar for you.
Listen, Saints, when Jensen Franklin reads Volume 1, he's going to know he can't tangle. He's going to know he can't debate, because when I ask him how many lumps of sugar does he want, he knows what he's getting. He's getting a big hammer on his head. The hammer of God's word. And I won't mind giving him too many lumps. He deserves it. So, what would Jensen Franklin of 2017 advise Jensen Franklin of 2018? You know, normally, we look for the older version of oneself to advise. I mean, you know, I would say me, in my 60s now, I would say to the version of me in the 20s, there would be a lot of things I would have to say to the version of me in the 20s. Now that I'm, you know, 60. I would look back and say, okay, this 60-year-old is wiser than that 20-year-old. Let me give that 20-year-old some advice. But in this case, I have to go into the archives, and I have to go back in 2017 to get a sermon from Jensen Franklin, and this is the younger Jensen Franklin, to advise the older Jensen Franklin. It's not the older advising the younger, it's the younger advising the older. The question is, will Jensen Franklin practice what he preaches? Now, yesterday we talked about the Pearl of Wisdom number 2. If you recall, Pearl of Wisdom number 1 was, you need to welcome the winds of opposition because they will cause you to soar and fly high like the eagle. That was Pearl of Wisdom number 1. Pearl of Wisdom number 2 was, stay in Jericho, don't get mad, don't get angry, don't seek revenge, stay sweet, stay in Jericho. And I want Jensen Franklin to stay in Jericho because I want him to read Volume 1 while he's sitting down in Jericho. I want him to read Volume 1, and I want him to prep for the debates. I want Jensen Franklin to go to Jericho, stay there, and prep for the debates. Now, this is where we're going to pick it up. This is Jensen Franklin finishing up Pearl of Wisdom number 2, which was stay in Jericho, don't get mad, don't get angry, don't seek revenge, just stay sweet. Here it is, and then I'm going to present Pearl of Wisdom number 3.
Just go to Jericho. When somebody offends you, listen now, just go to Jericho and stay sweet. Your beard will grow back. Your beard, your respect will come back. Your honor will come back. Your authority, it's kind of, I know what they did was bad, but calm down, calm down. It'll all come back. It'll grow back. Don't get mad. Don't get angry. Don't seek vengeance. If you just stay sweet, everything's going to get better. It's going to work for your good. Just keep the right spirits. Go to Jericho, the sweet place, and stay sweet. Stay at Jericho till your beard comes back. I promise you, everything's going to be all right. It's so hard to stay sweet when we get offended.
Well, that's the end of Pearl of Wisdom number 2. So here's Pearl of Wisdom number 3. And again, we're going to find out very shortly if Jensen Franklin will take advice from himself. Pearl of Wisdom number 3 is don't retaliate. Let God revenge your unjust attack. Leave vengeance to the Lord. Let God repay your enemies. Now, let me repeat that, because I know it's a mouthful. But Pearl of Wisdom number 3, from the younger version of Jensen Franklin to this older version of Jensen Franklin, is this: don't retaliate. Let God revenge your unjust attack. Leave vengeance to the Lord. Let God repay your enemies. Let's listen.
The natural person just wants to get in a shouting match, get in a fight. You cut my rear end and exposed it, I'm going to do something even worse to you. Here I go. And we want to go after and retaliate. And the king said, you go to Jericho, you stay sweet till your beard grows back. I think of Romans 14 right here. Dearly beloved, avenge not yourselves, neither give place to wrath, for vengeance is mine. I will repay, says the Lord. Two things God says are mine in the scriptures. The tithe is mine, and vengeance is mine, and don't you touch either one. It belongs to God and God alone. And you need to understand that God doesn't take offense lightly. That what God was saying and what David said to these men, go to Jericho and stay sweet. When you get offended, if you won't render evil for evil, if you won't attack and give them as good as they gave you, if you will be quiet and go to the sweet place and just calm down, your beard's going to grow back. Turn to your neighbor and say, your beard's going to grow back. Tell a woman near you, your beard is going to grow back. I know they insulted you. I know they humiliated you. But all it is words. You've been in a hussy over words. You've been all upset over words. Everything that you...
He's going to be in a hussy over 45,000 words because each volume is 15,000 words. Volume 1 is 15,000 words. Volume 2 is 15,000 words. Volume 3 is 45,000. Yeah, he's going to be in a hussy over words. 45,000 words and counting.
When you get offended, if you won't render evil for evil, if you won't attack and give them as good as they gave you, if you will be quiet and go to the sweet place and just calm down, your beard's going to grow back. Turn to your neighbor and say, your beard's going to grow back. Tell a woman near you, your beard is going to grow back. I know they insulted you. I know they humiliated you. But all it is words. You've been in a hussy over words. You've been all upset over words. Everything that you are, they may have been insulted it, but it didn't change who you are. It's growing back already, if you'll be quiet. And what about getting them back? Vengeance is mine. You stay in the sweet place, and you know what happens next? The Bible said in 2 Kings, or 2 Samuel, I think it's the 7th chapter, or the 6th chapter, it said that David told Joab to take some mighty men while they were in the sweet place. I'm telling you, God watches this stuff, folks. God watches when we get offended, and he's saying, well, we're going to see if they're going to peck around in the barnyard for another 10 years and let them go around the wilderness again, or we're going to see if they're going to have the right spirit this time, and if they'll stay sweet in Jericho and let their beard grow back, what I'm going to do is I'm going to turn around, and I, the Lord God, the King, will take out my vengeance. It won't be their vengeance. It'll be my vengeance.
Now, that's going to be problematic for Jensen Franklin because I'm a shepherd. He's a wolf. God doesn't protect wolves. God doesn't side with wolves. God is not on the side of false prophets and false teachers who purposely twist the word of God in order to fleece, hoodwink, bamboozle, and scam God's people. So God ain't coming after me. I don't have to fear that the Lord is going to repay me evil for evil because I haven't done any evil. All I'm doing is I'm exposing evil. I am not evil. I'm exposing the evil. The evil that came out of Jensen Franklin's mouth and the evil that came out of his pen for filthy lucre's sake. I'm not evil. Now, Mr. Franklin, let's see if you will not retaliate. Let's see if you will let the Lord repay me. Let's see if you'll leave it in God's hand. Let's see if you'll take your own advice. I doubt it. I doubt it.
If you will be quiet and go to the sweet place and just calm down, your beard's going to grow back. Turn to your neighbor and say, your beard's going to grow back. Tell a woman near you, your beard is going to grow back. I know they insulted you. I know they humiliated you. But all it is words. You've been in a hussy over words. You've been all upset over words. Everything that you are, they may have insulted it, but it didn't change who you are. It's growing back already, if you'll be quiet. And what about getting them back? Vengeance is mine. You stay in the sweet place, and you know what happens next? The Bible said in 2 Kings, or 2 Samuel, I think it's the 7th chapter, or the 6th chapter, it said that David told Joab to take some mighty men while they were in the sweet place. I'm telling you, God watches this stuff, folks. God watches when we get offended, and he's saying, well, we're going to see if they're going to peck around in the barnyard for another 10 years and let them go around the wilderness again, or we're going to see if they're going to have the right spirit this time, and if they'll stay sweet in Jericho and let their beard grow back, what I'm going to do is I'm going to turn around, and I, the Lord God, the King, will take out my vengeance. It won't be their vengeance. It'll be my vengeance. See, this is something we don't understand. God is into vengeance. He even said in one place, it would be better for you to take cinder blocks with chains like the mafia does people and throw you into the ocean if you offend one of my little ones. Meaning one of the least ones in the kingdom, anybody who offends them, if they stay sweet, if they don't take out vengeance, if they don't do what they naturally want to do, but they trust me and say, God, that person really hurt me, and it was unjust, but I put them in your hands. God said, you better know I take that offense so serious. Vengeance is mine. And I want to say this. Vengeance is a righteous act of God. Nobody's going to get by with nothing. As a matter of fact, I'm going to show you how holy vengeance is when it's placed in God's hands. Our job is to say when we're offended and somebody has truly done us wrong, Lord, I'm going to stay sweet. Help me to stay sweet. Please let my beard grow back. I've been insulted and hurt, but I'm going to stay right here. You got me covered back up. You're working on everything. I don't worry about my reputation, and I don't have to defend myself. I'm going to let you, Lord, deal with that person. I put their situation and their injustice in your hands, and I trust you. You're the God of vengeance. Now watch this. I think it's Revelation 21. The Bible said that in heaven, the martyrs were under the altar and they were crying out. Those who had been unjustly killed were crying out in heaven, avenge us of our blood. Now, if vengeance is wrong, that means sin is in heaven. Because there are slain Christians in heaven whose blood comes up before the throne saying, avenge us. And God says, I will avenge. I will avenge. So the point is this. If you will stay sweet and you will go to Jericho and you'll stay calm and you won't cuss people out and you won't get throw fits and you won't go into rage, but you'll stay sweet, let your beard grow back. God then, just like David, sent Joab and the army, and the Bible said they wiped them out, folks. God's vengeance is greater than your vengeance. And God, when he repays your enemies, he will do it in such a degree that you'll find yourself, this is true. I can think of situations like this where I don't always pass this test, but every once in a while I do. And when I do go to Jericho and just decided I won't do it, I'll shut up. The vengeance of God on a person can be so great that you'll find yourself saying, Lord, that's enough. Please, 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 your judgment is so, your vengeance is much more than what I would have put on that person. That's why in the Bible, Jesus on the cross said, Father, forgive them. This is the highest level. They know not what they do. That's why Stephen, when he was stoned and said, lay it not to their charge. Because I'm saying to you today, God always repays. He is a God of vengeance. And all he's asking you to do is stay sweet and give the vengeance part to him. And quit talking about it. Quit being angry about it. Quit letting it obsess your life and let it go. Woe unto them that offend. Exodus 25 and 13 said that the Philistines, listen to this, the Philistines worked by revenge through old hatred. If you'll put that up, Exodus 25, 13. They worked by revenge. That ain't it. They worked by revenge through old hatred. That's a powerful statement. Through old hatred. They work by revenge with old hatred. Do you know how many families it's old hatred? Because they don't even know why they don't like each other and why their side of the family don't speak to that side of the family. It's old hatred. And the Philistines were always working by revenge out of old hatred for the Israelites. And I'm saying to you that if we don't watch it, our families can become like the Hatfields and the McCoys. That generation after generation after generation, there's this fighting stuff going on. And at some point, we need to go to Jericho. We need to shut up about it and let God deal with it and move on. And I want to close with this.
Well, there you go. That's point number three. Don't retaliate. Let God revenge your unjust attack. Leave vengeance to the Lord. Let God repay your enemies. Let's see. Let's just see. Jensen Franklin can practice what he preached to his people. I doubt it, because the man, I can tell you, he's a hypocrite. These preachers are always telling people what to do, but they don't do it themselves. We'll know in a couple of days. We'll know in a couple of weeks. If he can go to Jericho, stay there until his beard grows back. Stay there until the sham. Let's see. Let's see if this guy will apply this sermon to himself. But I can guarantee you, that he won't. I can guarantee you. Well, Saints, I'll be back tomorrow to give you Pearl of Wisdom number 4. Listen, this is only getting better. I'm telling you, Jensen Franklin is like Confucius. Confucius say, I mean, he's just like, he's got pearls of wisdom. Tomorrow is Pearl of Wisdom number 4. Until then, saints of God, love you much in Jesus. God bless you. And don't forget, go to the website, purchase the book, support educational missions. God bless you in Jesus' name. Amen.